Okay. We are not going to go over time. That is a terrible thing to do when the fast is almost over and the pizza is already here. When I was in yeshiva, we used to have one of the articles in the weekly Daf Kesher, the weekly Dvar Torah paper, was called Akmal. Anyone know what that stands for? Do you remember this? Was it still there? Wasn't there? It just stands for Ein Kan Makom Laharich. Right? There's no room to go on at length. The entire shiur we're going to say now is of that nature. We have 9 minutes, as far as I can tell. So if we don't flesh everything out, that's not my fault. So what I want to do quickly is analyze one aspect of Akedat Yitzchak. Akedat Yitzchak is one of the central themes that we invoke over and over throughout the Yom Yerayim. We ask God to remember the Yitzchut of Yitzchak, the Yitzchut of Avram. We invoke various images, whether it be by using the shofar, which is the ram horn, which invokes the memory of that ram. Whatever it might be, we invoke this image over and over again. But it's not just that in our liturgy, we talk about Akedat Yitzchak all the time. If you look carefully throughout Tanakh, you'll find that in many stories where you wouldn't expect it, you'll find allusions, references, images being pulled from the story of Akedat Yitzchak. And in each case, you have to ask yourself the question, what is Tanakh trying to do by bringing in those images, by invoking the images of Akedat Yitzchak? Now, some of them are easy to understand. In number two, I gave you a story that actually precedes Akedat Yitzchak, the Gerush Yishmael, the sending away of Yishmael, which, if you look at the themes in the sending away of Yishmael, you have many parallels to Akedat Yitzchak, whether it be Avram getting up, him almost losing a son, the son being saved last minute by a malach, right? The images there are pretty obvious. And many of them, Farshim, pick up on this and note that perhaps this was a test that preceded Akedat Yitzchak. He had to run the risk of losing a child twice, or perhaps it's emphasizing that Yitzchak would go through the Akedah and become the chosen son. Yishmael would go through an Akedah, but he would be the rejected son, and therefore they're similar but different. And that story is easy sort of to tell why similar images would be found in Akedat Yitzchak and the story of Yishmael. We see the images popping out at us. We understand why they're parallel stories. We have to try to analyze the differences, but that's not so difficult. What I want to do is look at one story, which you might not expect to find it in, but the fact that the images do appear there seems to tell us something very profound. So let's start with a story that's less familiar. If you look at number three, this story is right after the Jews get the Torah. Mishpatim is in the middle, but Mishpatim is just a list of laws. Right? So chronologically, in terms of actual narrative, we're still right after Kabbalah HaTorah in Yitro. So there we hear Vil Moshe Amar Aleil Adonai Atav Aron Nadav Avihu Vishivim Mizikne Yisrael Vishtachavita Merachok. Moshe is told by God to go up, him, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, the Zkenim, they're all supposed to go up Har Sinai. And as they go up, they're supposed to bow down as they're at a distance. You skip down to Pasuk Dalet. Moshe is writing down the Torah. Vayachtov Moshe kol divrei Adonai vayashkem baboker vayiven mizbeach tachar haru 12 matzeival 12 shiftei Yisrael. Moshe writes down the Torah. He gets up in the morning. He builds a mizbeach under the mountain. He builds 12 matzevot, 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. Right? This story has nothing to do with the Akedah. It's just telling what happens as the Jews, right, in the aftermath of Har Sinai, how they're interacting with the presence of God. But if you look at the language, right, we don't have to read back through the story of Akedat Yitzchak. We all know the story. But if you look at the language that appears in this story, and I've bolded it for you, and I've italicized it, and I've italicized and underlined, so you can look back at which line is paralleling which. You find that literarily the same images are being invoked. Vayashkem baboker is how the story really starts off. Avram gets up early in the morning to go out to the Akedah. When he actually gets up the mountain, vayiven mizbeach, he builds a mizbeach, which he's going to bring Yitzhak on. He ends up bringing the Ola on. In Pasuk Hei, vayishlach et na'arei b'nei Yisrael. Vayalu olot v'izbechuz v'achim shlamim l'adonai parim. He sends the na'arei b'nei Israel, these lads, these youths, to bring karbanot. But that word na'ar is a leitmotif. It's a word that comes up over and over in the Akedah, right? Avram sends away, well, goes with Yitzchak up the mountain, and he leaves his two na'arim. And the word na'ar comes up many times throughout the story. If you skip down to Pasuk Yud, Vayiru et Elohei Yisrael, all the people assembled there, see God. Now that again is a theme right out of Akedat Yitzchak. Because how does Akedat Yitzchak end? Avram says, what is this place? The place which is, right? Bahar Hashem Yerah, the place where God is seen. So here they're seeing God. Vayiru et Elohei Yisrael, so they see God. And then, he didn't extend his hand. Now that is also a phrase right out of the Akedah. Right? The Malach tells Avram, don't, right? Al tishlach yadcha el hanar. And it continues in Yudbed. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Alei Elai Ha'ara Vayasham Ve'etna Lecha Et Luchot Ha'Even Vatarav Mitzvah Shekav Tavti Lo Ratam. God tells Moshe, come up, get the Luchot that I wrote. Vayakam Moshe V'Yoshua Mishartov Vayam Moshe La'ara Elohim. And Moshe gets up with Yoshua and he goes up to the mountain of God. Ve'azekinim Amar Shivu Lanu Vazeh Adasher Nashuv Aleichem. And what does he tell the Zekinim? Wait here until I get back. Which is what Avram had told the Ne'arim. Right, Shvulachem Po Machamor Vaniva Narnelcha Ad Kovin Ashuv Right Venashuva Aleichem. Did I skip a word? No. Yeah, no. Got Meshachavim Venashuva Aleichem. He tells these Kenim, wait, I'm going to go have a religious experience up at the top of the mountain, and I'll come back to you. Which is exactly what Avram tells his Narim. Vine Aaron Vechori Machem Yibal Varim Yigash Aleichem Vayal Moshe Alahar Vechasa Nanidahar. He goes up and the presence of God is there for 6 days. On the seventh day he calls, and the presence of God is like a consuming fire. Now, that word doesn't actually come up in the Akedah, but a very similar word does, which is the, what's the knife called? Macholet, right? Which is a very strange word. So if you're listening to it, right, you hear these images of Ne'arim, of Hashtachavaya, of Nashuva Aleichem, of Yireh Hashem, of the Ochelet, or the Ma'acholet of God, Vayashkem Baboker, and you see these images, these literary words coming up over and over again. And the question then becomes, why? Right, I understand why by Yishmael, by Gerush Yishmael, it's going to have language that is predicting, so to speak, which is foretelling Akedat Yitzchak, because the stories are similar. And I can understand what the lesson might be, but why in this moment of God's presence being revealed at Har Sinai, a story which has nothing to do with this type of sacrifice, it's just about getting of laws and the appearance of the presence of God, why are we suddenly being asked to think about the Akedah? So we have 1 minute. So I'll just give you one idea. Professor Yoni Grossman, an article he wrote in Megadim Chafhei, is the one who notes these parallels. And he suggests that if you think of the Akedah, we tend to think of the Akedah, especially Yom Menorah Yom Tov, as the paradigm, as the ultimate moment of service of God. Right? That's exactly what we say. God, remember that moment. Remember us, have mercy because of Yitzchak, because of Avram. But what is the ethos of that moment? Or what are people feeling? Right, what's the experience? It's one of fear. It's one of submission. It's one of trepidation. It's scary. Avram almost loses his child. And if you only had that, if you only had Akedat Yitzchak, you would think that what does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? To be in fear and trepidation and awe of God at all times. But at this moment at Har Sinai, what's the mood? There's definitely awe. But what are they doing right before Moshe goes up to the mountain? Vayachlu vayishtu. They're eating, they're drinking, they're happy. They're celebrating their experience with God. Now Chazal have some criticism for them, but we'll leave that aside for a moment. The atmosphere is clearly more happy, more enjoyable, more of them exhilarating the fact that God is speaking to them. So Professor Grossman suggests that's why the imagery comes up. Because it's true, we invoke Akedat Yitzchak over and over again, but the Torah doesn't want to leave you with the feeling that the only way to be an Oved Hashem is to constantly be in fear and constantly be shaking and trembling. It wants you to know that you can also be an Oved Hashem in the context of a Yochlu Ve'ishtu, of celebrating, of feeling the joy of having an experience of God appearing to you, and therefore the language is invoked, even though it's a totally different story, to remind you that the Akedah isn't the end of the story. It's one model, one very important paradigm of Oved Hashem, but it's not the complete picture. So the Torah invokes those images in other places in Tanakh to fill out the picture and remind you that there is another aspect of Oved Hashem. With that...